activate. How do you shut that off?
Oops, we're on.
All right, never mind. Good evening, citizens and heroes, maybe some villains, the Millennium and Paragon cities. It's Monday night, a little past 8 p.m. on the East Coast. It's been a long weekend for me, kids, and I'll explain in a few minutes. But this is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. Let's just get to it. I'm going to bring him on right away. My co-host. I couldn't do this without him. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's Viking. Or a Viking, rather. But we just like to call him Mad Viking.
Pokemon, I better give you a warning. I just took a look. It's International Cat Day. So that means there will be an Alto on your desk poking you with a stick.
Well,
it's going to happen.
Maybe.
So you accept it.
Or maybe I'll poke him with a stick. You can try. So, hello.
Hello.
Hello to everybody out there in the Twin Cities, as I like to call them, of Millennium and Paragon Cities. Okay, Mr. Nam Nam saying, it is a shotgun that shoots plasma. Huh? Who is he talking to? What?
He's talking to Mordicus, I think.
Oh, okay. I missed him. Okay, I'm joining in a conversation late. But anyway.
So fun time to do that is when it's on Bunny Night on Dawn Radio.
Yes.
During the middle of a conversation,
yes.
You're going like, I'm just moving over here. Okay.
Yeah. Please. There was a guy I did not get along with at work. And he would intentionally poke his head in at the weirdest times of a conversation, and hear like 2 seconds, intentionally, quote unquote, hear like 2 seconds of a 20-minute conversation. What did you guys say? And go around quoting everybody. So, of course, we had to go to union and management, go, yeah. So what do you do now? It's like you're having a 20-minute conversation. You know he heard the whole conversation. But he made it sound like he just walked in and quote, like, this weird, like, two-second window. And, you know, you had a room full of witnesses who knew he was listening around the corner, but he just made it look like he walked in at that moment. And he's the type of guy who's, like, upper 20s in age, going on 2. So he ran around the office going, oh, he said this. And everyone went, so he just said that, or was it part of his sentence? Well, I was standing there, and I heard him say that. Like, what were you doing standing? So then it got to the point eventually. People said, well, what were you doing standing there? How long were you standing there? What were you doing? So then it just got to the point. Management walked past. Yeah, come here. We want to have a talk with you before we have to go through this whole bullshit of having a union meeting and wasting our time with you. It got to the point you just went, yeah, here, what's this? Yeah, we're just suspending you for 2 weeks, and we're not just going to put up with the bullshit wasting half a day with you. But yeah, you're 29 going on 3, so here, until you get the point, just stop the shit. Why? But I didn't. No, I see him talking to the union now, and I can see there's going to be a meeting involved, so here. You're suspended. Pack your shit. Go home for 2 weeks and just get out of here. Seriously. And then the management came over and told me in the union, yeah, I swear we just suspended him for 2 weeks. Don't, please. We just took care of it. Okay, thanks. Okay, that was easy. And the funny thing is, he never learned.
Surprise.
He got fired because a friend of mine tricked him into doing something that he thought he could get away with. It's like, you think I could do this? Oh, yeah, that's the handbook. Yeah, you could do that. Really? Oh, yeah. So he did it, and he's like, but are you sure? It's not in this handbook. Oh, it's in the old handbook. Yeah, because he was there for like 10 years. Oh, the old handbook. You could do that all the time. So he did it, right? And it's like, what are you? And so my friend was off the day he did it, right? And he goes, and they're like, what the hell made you think you could do this? Oh, well, it was in the old handbook. And he's like, what are you talking about? That has never been in any handbook. So he got fired. He's like, but so-and-so said, and they're trying to call him. It's like, and they called, and he goes like this, what old handball? I never talked to him about this. You told me. It's like, all right, hold on. Hold on.
Holding.
Right, so union, so management went like this, I see what's going on here. You did something stupid. He's friends with me, right? So he's friends with so-and-so. So now you're trying to get him in trouble. You were going to do this, and you're blaming it on him now. So it's not enough you're getting him in trouble while trying to get him in trouble all the time, causing havoc for him. You're trying to cause havoc for his friends now, too. That's it. You're done. You're fired. Mostly just because he did something illegal. So that weekend we went to the movies because, yeah, he got him fired.
And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
Oh, and because everybody in the office is like, why did he think he could do that? I mean, just common sense. I'm not even going to say what it was. It was just something really stupid. Just something that, like, you know, it was not, you know. No. You know, it was never in any hand. It was just something never allowed anywhere. Like, are you kidding me? It was just something really stupid that, like, not even, like, a warning, nothing. You do this, you are fired. You know, just Vince, you could call the WWE and Vince McMahon will call you back. You are fired! And
Trump will
say, oh,
you can't
say
that anymore. He's no longer there.
Well, that's right. But back at that point, and Trump would say it to you. You know, one of those things. So.
Well, Stephanie will probably pick it up now.
Well, I'm sure Stephanie has a recording of her dad saying it. I'm sure they, you know, like, Dad, can you say these words for me? You know, because he's sitting at home doing nothing. Can you do me a favor? Yes, I can. What my daughter's trying to say is, what my daughter and my son-in-law are trying to tell you.
Well, you said you had a tough week, so
yeah,
the floor is still yours.
Basically, my mom came home from the hospital, and then my stepdad went in with a very bad heart. So we're praying that you all keep him in your prayers and thoughts. That would be really cool. He's my stepdad, but he's like my dad. He's more like my dad than my dad was, so... Just keep in your thoughts, people. We're just hoping he makes it through the week. And this has been a rough time for us. So just and Mom's not taking it too well. So it's like every time we think he's going to make it through, we get more, you know, some bad news there. So.
Yep.
It's a rough summer for us, so.
Mm-hmm. And for those who have been asking, nope, we have still have a missing rain.
And if you could, I'm going to put the link up now.
Okay.
Positive for the extralife.org charity that I do every year. I'm trying to raise $80. By August 22nd. Now, I don't know. That's in addition to the money you've already raised.
AFK.
I'm talking about... Okay, hold on. I'm just trying to raise... So I'm at $550 right now. So I'm trying to get to $630 total by the end of August 22nd.
And if we get 666, Mordecai will be very happy.
Yes, you will be, yes. So hold on, I'm just going to post that there. I'm going to post it in local. I'm going to come over to where I need to. Okay, let me just post it in the coalition. I think that's where most people are. Actually, you know what? I'm going to post in all the channels we post in.
Okay.
I'm going to post it on radio over here. I'm going to post it in Paragon chat. In case anybody's listening in Paragon chat, I'm going to post it there. Go check out my channel.
Hey, Paragon chat.
And our friends at the Rookery, go donate some. Go donate. It's for the kids. Mm. It's for the kids.
It doesn't have to be,
by the way,
grandiose. $1.
Right. If 80 people donate $1, I'll have it by... Oops, I typed the wrong word. Talking about the Rookery. It was Billy. You know, if 80 people donate $1 tonight, I'll reach that goal tonight. If 40 people donate $2, if 16 people donate $5 tonight, what was I going to say? Something about that, you know, it's just, that's all. Yeah, I'm going to do it in, I'm going to do it in broadcast too.
Okay, and whoops.
In broadcast. I'm in, yeah, can you imagine the whoops channel? They're in
broadcast.
Probably
is. Yeah. That's where all the MTs go to.
That's right. The land of the Mist Hells. There you go. Thank you.
And bad news in the entertainment field.
Yes.
Especially love the movie Grease. Olivia Newton-John, after 30 years of battling with cancer, has passed away.
Xanadu.
Jesus, like 30 years. That, you know, that's a good long time, you know, dealing with it.
I know.
Yeah, she was in pain. But
she was in one of those Sharknado movies too.
well, we will not watch one of that Sharknado during the movie night in tribute.
Right.
Please let it be Grease, not Grease 2, Grease.
No, she was in Grease, but Xanadu is like, the movie was horrible, but the soundtrack was fucking phenomenal. That soundtrack kicked ass. It's like if there's ever a top 10 like movies that suck but their soundtrack was awesome, Xanadu's up there. And like the better, like for example, like Flash Gordon, I don't know like how people rate the movie, but that soundtrack is like phenomenal. It's like one of those things, like the movie's okay, but because Queen did the entire soundtrack, that movie is just, holy shit.
I swear on some of those scenes, though, they were tripping. With some of
the
special effects.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was like 80 special, you know, it was like, remember, it was based off a 1930s serial, you know, movie serial. And by that, I mean, kids went to the movies every Saturday morning. Or Saturday afternoon, and watch a chapter, you know, and then, you know, you go back. They go back every week to see another episode, and eventually they'd be on TV. But this is what it was based off of, you know, and a comic book or whatever, you know. But it was based off comic book first, you know, Sunday morning comic strips in a newspaper, and they made a movie. I just love when you, if you watch the movie Ted, Sam Jones is here. What? You mean Flash Gordon? And he's walking toward them, and you hear the Flash Gordon thing. You hear the Flash Gordon thing.
Oh, my God. I just saw in general on City of Heroes, new power coming up, Symphony Control. I'm wondering if this music, yeah.
That's awesome. But my favorite all-time use of the Flash Gordon theme song, the season premiere of one of the seasons of The Flash,
season 5.
Right? Yes.
I've been waiting 5 years for this.
I've been waiting 5 years. I'm like, tell me he's going to play the Flash Gordon theme. And it was so perfect the way they choreographed. I'm like, best season opener ever for any season of any show.
You gotta do the voice.
It was the
best season,
ever.
It was awesome. I'm like, I record, you know, because I DVR all the episodes for all. I played that scene 10 times that night after it was over. I think it was just for the music because I closed my eyes for most of it, but just playing the music. It was awesome. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to play it on YouTube tonight after this one. Oh, that's another thing. Grant Gustin has reacted to the fact that next season is the last season for The Flash as well.
But yet, Ezra Miller still goes on.
Should I read that now? Should we get
go
to
ahead.
That?
Let's do it.
Not in Hawaii anymore, folks. Ezra Miller has found trouble. Hold on. Has found trouble once again. In Vermont, the Vermont police have charged the Flash's Ezra Miller with felony burglary. Last week, Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav assured investors that The Flash will still be heading to theaters in 2023, despite the ongoing legal issues with the film star Ezra Miller. But not even a week later, Miller is once again in hot water via Variety. Vermont State Police have charged Miller with, quote-unquote, felony burglary into an unoccupied dwelling. Huh? According to the police report, the incident took place on May 1st when the homeowners notified the police that someone had stolen several bottles of alcohol from their residence. Police reportedly charged Miller after reviewing surveillance videos and taking statements from the owners. Variety also notes that police caught up with Miller on August 7th, and the actor was not arrested. Instead, police issued a citation for Miller to appear in Vermont Superior Court on September 26th. That will be Miller's arraignment hearing. This is only the latest PR nightmare for WB, following Miller's previous arrest in Hawaii for disorderly conduct, harassment, and second-degree assault. Miller has also been accused of grooming a young woman named Dakota Iron Eyes by her parents. Okay, hold on. I'm not going to read the article, but if you have a name, Dakota Iron Eyes, you know that's eventually going to happen to you. I'm sorry. Okay, back to the story. However, Iron Eyes recently spoke to Insider and denied all the allegations made by her mother and father. Regardless, Miller has also been accused of harassing and even assaulting women in Iceland and Germany. Up to this point, Warner Brothers hasn't wavered from putting The Flash in theaters. It's a $200 million to $250 million production that is largely in the can, with Miller in almost every scene of the film. Replacing Miller would essentially require the entire movie to be reshot, and that's never been seriously considered. But WB's strategy of hoping that Miller can stay out of trouble doesn't appear to be working. For now, The Flash is still scheduled to hit theaters on June 23rd, 2023. You know what? If they had gone with Grant Gustin, this would never have happened.
Just find a way to change all the name mentions and say he's E. Bardstein, okay? Me about Thorne, I mean. Just change
okay,
it to
now,
Professor Zoom. Get it out of the way.
Speaking of Grant Gustin, he reacts to The Flash's final season announcement this past Friday. So earlier last week, the CW finally confirmed rumors that The Flash will end after its upcoming ninth season. Ooh. showrunner Eric Wallace previously issued his own statement thanking fans for their support over the years. But today, it was series star Grant Gustin's turn to address the news in a video message posted on Instagram. Viewers began speculating about The Flash's conclusion at the beginning of this year, when details of Gustin's contract negotiations were first reported by Deadline. At the time, Gustin was reported to have rejected a deal to reprise his role as Barry Allen for multiple additional seasons of the show. Instead, he agreed to a one-year arrangement that capped his involvement at 15 episodes. But somewhere along the way, the network cut season nine's episodes count down to just 13. The quote is, "This week, we announced that season 9 of The Flash will be the final season, which is bittersweet," said Gustin. "It's been an incredible nearly 10 years of playing this character and getting to be a part of this show with an amazing cast and crew. And so much love from you guys, from the fans, people who love the show. It's the only reason we've got to do this as long as we have. And I'm very excited to do this one final time. Finish on our terms. And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it as much as I can. I wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting the show and allowing us to go as long as we have. And I could not be more honored to be associated with this character, probably for the rest of my life and career. By the time it wraps up next year, The Flash will officially surpass Arrow as the CW's longest-running Arrowverse series. But more importantly, it will also herald the end of the Arrowverse as we once knew it. Two other shows, Batwoman and Legends of Tomorrow, were both axed by the CW in April, leaving only three other DC shows on the network: Stargirl, which is coming out April 31st, Superman Lois, and the upcoming Gotham Knights. The Flash's final season will premiere on the CW in 2023.
Well, then I have a suggestion for the CW. If at the fifth season they put on the Flash main theme, then on that last scene, you need the one area, the one scene that also is very memorable from Flash Gordon. "Oh, well, who wants to live forever? Die!" And that song, the fight song.
And then at the final scene, you have to Flash jump in the air with his two fists. Yeah! "Flash, you've saved the universe." Yeah!
I mean, if Family Guy can do it, when they had God dressed up as Flash Gordon, why not?
Oh, God, yes. But think about it. We had a golden age of superhero TV on that network. And then just like that, it's all gone. Are we going to get any? Think about it. We were going to get Green Lantern. I don't know if we're still getting the Green Lantern show on HBO Max.
Well, hold on.
But seriously,
you know, the third season of Harley Quinn is now running.
Is it started yet?
Yeah.
When did it start?
A couple of weeks ago. They already had, I think they're like episode 4 or 5 now.
Wait, what channel? HBO Max?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I gotta check it out later tonight. Okay. I didn't know it started yet. Yeah, but that's an anime. I'm talking about live-action hero shows. And remember, it's different on streaming services. I mean, the CW was like network TV. You know what I mean? That's something different. You didn't have to pay for it. It was there on network TV. And remember, how cool is that? You had a network on TV that had superhero shows almost every night. The crossovers were awesome. Everybody could watch it every night. You know, how cool were the crossovers?
You know, there was a couple of ones that just were victim of bad writers.
Yes.
We won't say who. We already kind of know. But,
yeah.
And She-Hulk is coming now. And
right.
it is in the
but
way
again,
we were hoping for.
Right. But remember, those are limited runs, though. Those are only like 9-10 episodes. And then you don't know if we're going to get a season two. And then you have to wait months. You have to wait almost another year. You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, on the CW, when you had these shows on, you were getting 23 episodes a year. These went from the fall to the spring. Okay? And they mentioned each other. And a couple of times throughout the year, they would show up on each other's shows. Like the She-Hulk, for example. She's going to have 9 or 10 episodes in her little pocket universe. Her little pocket universe.
Well, not
in a little bubble. Well, her bubble. You know what I mean. Maybe I think Mark Ruffalo, the Hulks are going to show up.
Yeah.
And,
Mark Ruffalo's there. Also, Emil Blonsky.
Ian Roth. Right.
Emil
right. He's going to be there.
And
right, that's why I said
Daredevil.
The Hulk. Okay, that's right. Right. Okay, and I think that's going to lead into Daredevil's 23 episodes. We mentioned that here. He's going to have a 23-episode reboot. See, I wouldn't mind that as long as they bring back all the Netflix shows from Marvel, the Marvel Netflix shows. That would be cool to bring them back. But I like them to come back at the same time. See, right now it's like you're getting one show. And then you have to wait a couple months for the next show. And you have to wait a few more months. So there's no chance of a crossover.
No, but it's a blend-in to the movies.
Right.
Excuse me.
Okay.
As you saw with WandaVision, it's now being blended into Doctor Strange.
Right, I saw that. Right, right, right. And like we discussed last week, was last week, how this all blends into phase 5 and 6 now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying is, like, on the CW, you had a plan that led into their crossovers where everybody joined up. They didn't have a movie because they had their big crossover event every year, which I thought was cool. Their movie event was a week of episodes where they all crossed over. So you got a 5-hour movie on TV.
We won't know until like August 13th, I think is the date.
For what?
For She-Hulk.
No, they actually pushed that back a day. Hold on, let me check. I know I saw that they pushed it back another day, so.
But I'm glad they are doing it the way that made She-Hulk very popular. The fourth wall break.
Yes, yes. Why is this?
You want to talk about the CGI? Okay, like how many times did it take to get the original right?
Right, they actually improved the CGI, I heard. They worked on it, so. Hold on, let me see.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we see She-Hulk and Deadpool. I am hoping.
That would be cool.
Oh, and let's throw in Howard the Duck. Seriously, throw in Howard the Duck.
Why?
Those are the three fourth wall breakers.
Okay. All right, here we go. Disney Plus pushes She-Hulk premiere back by a day. Okay, it was supposed to premiere on Wednesday, August 17th. However, Disney Plus has made a last change to the She-Hulk premiere. It's getting pushed back by a day to Thursday, August 18th. Additionally, all new episodes of the series will now premiere on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays. Marvel made the announcement in the video. Let's see. Moving She-Hulk to Thursday suggests that Disney Plus may have been unhappy with the recent performance of Ms. Marvel on Wednesdays. Despite critical approval, that series didn't match the numbers of previous Marvel shows like Moon Knight. It also had to share the spotlight with Obi-Wan Kenobi for a few weeks, which may have hampered Ms. Marvel's views. Up until Loki, Marvel, and Star Wars series premiered on Fridays on Disney+. However, Netflix typically drops its original films and shows on Fridays, which is probably why Disney+ has largely abandoned that day for originals. It should be interesting to see if Andor remains on Wednesday, September 21st, or if it will also be shifted to Thursdays. Okay. Oh, there you go.
Let's see. And there was one other thing, and I just can't remember right now.
Well, I got a few more to read. I got a few more.
Okay, then I'll hush up until I can remember.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just grab this one. I know I just opened this one. Hold on.
I can already, if Rain was listening, you know what she'd be saying. Like, yeah, let the real host of the show do the show. You shut up, Matt. You can hear her doing that.
Okay. So sad news based on Warner Brothers Discovery. They've canceled HBO Max's Batgirl movie. And this is last Tuesday. What? Yes. Batgirl movie was noticeably absent from Comic-Con, despite the film's supposed 2022 release date. However, a new report in the New York Post last week suggests that it won't be coming out at all. That means Batgirl won't get a theatrical release, and it won't even premiere on HBO Max. It will simply be canceled, despite the fact that it is already finished. Snyderverse treatment, anybody? The Post story suggests that Batgirl tested so poorly with preview audiences that, quote, the studio decided to cut its losses and run for the sake of the brand's future. The New York Post's unnamed source added that, quote, they think an unspeakable Batgirl is going to be irredeemable. Warner Brothers Discovery and HBO Max won't be getting off lightly for this. The budget for the film is estimated to be between a mere $70 to $100 million. That makes this one of the biggest write-downs in Hollywood history, all without playing in a single theater. Good God. The new boss at Warner Brothers. Oh, yes, go ahead.
You know someone's going to leak it on Torrent or something like that.
Well, hold on. Get ready for this one. The new bosses at Warner Brothers Discovery already killed the $75 million Wonder Twins movie that HBO Max
planned. It was a Wonder Twins movie?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Ugh.
Zan was replayed by the guy who plays Archie on Riverdale.
Now I remember.
Yes, we talked about this a couple of times. Just think, we could have seen on TV Wonder Twin Powers. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing they canceled it. All right. I set you up good for that one. However, the key difference is that Wonder Twins never shot a single scene. Oh, well, there you go. All right. The Batgirl movie wasn't just filmed. It also had reshoots. Oh, my God. Batgirl featured Leslie Grace's Barbara Gordon / Batgirl with J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon, Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne Batman, and Brendan Fraser as Firefly. Who directed this? Adil L. Arbi and Bilal Falal. In the past, canceled superhero movies like Roger Corman's Fantastic Four flick eventually escaped into the wild and became bootleg staples at comic conventions. It remains to be seen if Batgirl will be leaked as well. Wait, when we're in the old folks' home, you know what's going to happen? They're going to show this to us on Blu-ray or whatever the next media is. Yeah, I remember hearing about this movie. Yeah,
okay,
don't show it. Don't you show it to us. No.
The fact that you said J.K. Rowling's, as in
Spider-Man. No,
J.K.
Simmons.
Oh, J.K.
Right,
Simmons. Who is also...
J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter. I don't think she would be in the movie.
No, but J.K. Simmons, who is also... in the Spider-Man as J. Jonah Jameson. Yes. Guess what meme you're going to be seeing a lot of? Batgirl canceled. Oh. You serious?
I got Spider-Man, and now I got Batgirl. Ah, that's two for two. Yeah. Okay, so now Warner Brothers has released a statement about the cancellation of Batgirl. So, entertainment news tends to be fairly quiet in the weeks after Comic-Con. However, word about Batgirl's cancellation is upending that tradition, shelving a nearly complete superhero movie with a budget between $70 million to $90 million just hasn't been done before. But the edict from Warner Brothers Discovery is that Batgirl and the $40 million budgeted animated flick Scoob Holiday Haunt will neither be released theatrically nor on HBO Max as originally intended. Now Scoob isn't going to be released either? Jesus, what the hell is wrong with this company? Late Tuesday night, Warner Brothers acknowledged the moves while making a statement to the Hollywood Reporter. The studio also denied claims that either film was canceled over quality issues. The decision to not release Batgirl reflects our leadership's strategic shift as it relates to the DC Universe and HBO Max. Leslie Grace is an incredibly talented actor, and this decision is not a reflection of her performance. We are incredibly grateful to the filmmakers of Batgirl and Scoob Holiday Haunt and their respective casts. We hope to collaborate with everyone again in the near future. That's the Hollywood equivalent of, it's not you, it's me. At press time, neither Batgirl stars Leslie Grace nor the directors have shared statements of their own. So, why did the WB put these movies on ice? Deadline suggests that the movie is emblematic of Warner Brothers Discovery, the CEO David Zaslav's disdain for former Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar's strategy to use big-budget original projects to draw subscribers to HBO Max. Batgirl and Scoob Holiday Haunt were two of the highest-profile original films for the streamer. Additionally, Deadline's report indicates that WBD decided that it was a better strategy to write off both films at a massive loss rather than invest in making them theatrical releases. As part of the merger with Discovery, former WB projects like Batgirl can be kept off the books thanks to this tax maneuver. That said, it's still a colossal waste of money to simply let both films sit on the shelf without ever getting a release. Stockholders may not be happy about that. So isn't that nice? Your favorite superheroes are now being used as tax write-offs. Hey, you remember that movie you were waiting for? It's not going to be released. It's tax write-off.
I'm Tax Man. I'm Tax Man.
Yeah. So, Mr. Tax Man, the directors of Batgirl, they addressed the film's cancellation. So, this was last Wednesday. Every single person who worked on HBO Max's Batgirl movie deserves sympathy right now. However, the directors arguably deserve the most of it. Landing a high-profile directing gig signaled a bright future for the pair when they came aboard the project last year. But now that they've had almost 24 hours to process at that point, WB's decision to cancel the film, the directors are finally ready to speak up. Warner Brothers certainly picked an inopportune time to give Batgirl the axe. The announcement came three weeks after they garnered praise for their work on Ms. Marvel, which proved they were more than capable of handling superhero action. On a more personal level, the news also broke while the directors were in Morocco holding hold on a second. I have to take care of some. Just give me one moment.
Okay, enough of that one. But yeah, I'm just kind of surprised myself. The old reliable, as it seems to be, has not popped up yet, and that's to blame diehard fan.
Okay,
I'm surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just saying
that. What are you talking about?
I'm surprised no one has went, it was the fans.
No, no, no. And when you hear a tax write-off, it's definitely the company. Okay, where was I? Fine, ready. Personal level. One was certainly picked an inopportune time. On a more personal level, the news also broke while the directors were in Morocco holding a belated reception for LRB's 2021 wedding. As harsh as that is, the filmmakers chose to address the situation with grace and dignity in a news statement posted on Instagram. We are saddened and shocked by the news. We still can't believe it. As directors, it is critical that our work be shown to audiences. And while the film was far from finished, we wish that fans all over the world would have had the opportunity to see and embrace the final film themselves. Maybe one day they will, if Allah wills it. Our amazing cast and crew did a tremendous job and worked so hard to bring Batgirl to life. They continued, we are forever grateful to have been part of that team. It was a dream to work with such fantastic actors like Michael Keaton, J.K. Simmons, Brendan Fraser, Jacob Scipio, Corey Johnson, Rebecca Front, and especially the great Leslie Grace, who portrayed Batgirl with so much passion, dedication, and humanity. They also added a final personal statement. In any case, as huge fans of Batman since we were little kids, it was a privilege and an honor to have been part of the DCEU, even if it was for a brief moment, Batgirl for life. Earlier reports, hold on. Yeah, Frank, this is what they said. Earlier reports claimed WB scrapped the film based on underwhelming reactions to test screenings, but the next day, Sear released an unofficial statement saying that a strategic shift, quote-unquote, regarding its upcoming DC slate is the real reason behind the move. Okay, so let's move on to this one.
And you're AFK. Where we have a cursed alien doll next to us.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay, hold on.
I have to admit, I think that was the first time I've ever seen, you know, any kind of cancellation or anything, and they immediately didn't blame the fans, even with the fact that you're saying the previews, it said it tanked.
Right. Well, hold on a minute. Hold on. Kevin Feige, he sent a message of support to the directors of Batgirl. Not only were the directors blindsided by the news of Batgirl.
Yes.
But the blindsided by the rest. Regardless, the filmmakers have undoubtedly taken comfort in seeing the vast majority of fans and industry luminaries reach out in solidarity last week. Now it can be officially they can officially count Marvel Studios president Kevin F. as one of the pair's top supporters. However you say his name, every time I hear his name, it says like five different ways. Kevin F. That's why I say it. They collaborated with Kevin when they helmed the first and last episodes of Ms. Marvel, and they still have a solid relationship with their former boss. Via their Instagram stories, the directors posted a screenshot of the email that he sent them after, you know, WBD scrapped the Batgirl project. And this is what he said. My friends, I had to reach out and let you know we're all thinking about the both of you. Because the wonderful news about the wedding, congrats, and the disappointing news about Batgirl. Very proud of you guys for all the amazing work you do, and particularly Ms. Marvel, of course. Can't wait to see what is next for you. Hope to see you soon. And he's not the only big name who sent well wishes to the duo. They were also thanked by the Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World helmer Edgar Wright for their own words of support. Gunn and Wright have both had their own unfortunate brushes with studio politics over the years. Gunn was famously fired as the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy Vol. 3, which we talked about many times over, after some of the old tweets resurfaced in 2018, only to be reinstated a year later. Meanwhile, Wright was Marvel's original choice to direct the first Ant-Man movie and co-write the script with frequent collaborator Joe Cornish. But after being attached to the project for 8 years, Wright left the film in 2014 over creative differences. Sadly, anyone hoping for Warner Brothers to reverse its Batgirl decision shouldn't hold their breath. While addressing the news during last week's earnings call via Variety, CEO David Zaslav appeared to dig heels in, claiming, "We're not going to launch a movie to make a quarter, and we're not going to put a movie out unless we believe in it." So, in other words, this guy's being a douchebag.
Yep.
Okay, one more story about the news. Okay, so that's all the news about Batgirl. Now we turn our attention back to Marvel. It seems here Isaac and Oswalt tease the future of Moon Knight and Eternals. So the next 3 years, as we've already talked about last week, will bring plenty of new faces into the MCU, while also making time for old favorites. But there's still some mystery concerning the heroes we just met in Phase 4. Marvel has yet to share when characters from projects like Moon Knight and Eternals might next grace the screen with their presence. But according to recent comments from Oscar Isaac and Patton Oswalt, the return of their respective heroes might not be too far in the future. Earlier last week, a TikTok video made the round showing Isaac and Moon Knight director Mohamed Diab on a boat in Egypt when Diab's daughter asked them if another season of the series is happening. Isaac replied, "Why else would we be in Cairo?" On one hand, it seems highly unusual for season 2 of Moon Knight to be shooting or even location scouting before Marvel has even announced a renewal. But Diab lent some extra credence to his idea when he posted the video on his own Twitter account. I'll post this so you can check out the thing below. Let's see here. Meanwhile, an Eternal sequel has been a less likely prospect ever since the original movie hit theaters last year. Jack Kirby's Immortal Superheroes managed to rake in over $400 million worldwide. So it wasn't exactly a box office bomb, but is one of the MCU's lowest grossing efforts. And while not without its defenders, Eternals also received some of the most middling reviews in the history of the franchise. Remember, the first day when the previews got outstanding reviews, and then when the real fans went to see it, it tanked. Regardless, the film's two cliffhanging endings, one of which introduced Oswald's Pit the Troll alongside Harry Styles as Arrow/Star Fox, implied that we hadn't seen the last of the characters. In fact, Oswald appeared to confirm as much during a recent appearance on NBC Today. "They have announced there's going to be an Eternal sequel," said Oswald. "Chloe Zhao is going to direct it, so hopefully there'll be more adventures of Star Fox and Pip. What I want to know is this, though, is, now you know what I'm going to say, maybe. If they're not happy with the money they made on the movie and it got a lot of negative reviews, why is she directing the sequel?
Hoping for like Lethal Weapon 2, where the second one's does a little bit better.
Maybe.
Or
maybe,
Alien.
Maybe.
Alien's the best example.
Yeah. Well, the director did a better job with the second one. My God, that was so much better than the first one. Good Lord. Okay. So that's all the stories I had. Obviously, the big news is back. See, this is what I don't, you know. Somebody takes over the movie, takes over a company. Now, I'm going to be bitter and spiteful, and I'm not going to release these movies because somebody before me was here. Kathleen Kennedy, anybody? Yeah, it's that's what it reminds me of. I'm not going to release these, and fuck you. Fuck you. I'm waiting to find out there's some personal history there between them. And yes, we do have a cursed baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have a cursed baby doll?
Because it's Batgirl?
Oh, my God. But we're on your side. We didn't do it. We're on your side, I swear. All right. Well, it's 8:54, right? Time is flying past when you have a lot of news to read. And really, I was surprised by all this news because usually, like I say, the weeks after Comic-Con are really quiet. And that's why, like, the last couple of weeks we were talking about Dungeons & Dragons and all that good stuff and stuff and stuff. But I don't have nothing from City of Titans. You got anything tonight?
Nothing from Ship of Heroes.
No drinking.
But like I said, that one thing that I saw was Symphony Control from City of Heroes, New Power, that's on beta. I'm going like...
And that's for beta?
Yeah, I'm just
and
going
that's
like...
for beta for Excelsior? Because I saw...
For all of the Homecoming. For all of Homecoming.
Okay. Okay, because I saw something for...
Rebirth.
Not for home. Right. Yes, for Rebirth, for one of them. Not for our server, for another server. And then somebody mentioned our server. And it's like, we already have it. It was for a different rogue server. And it made the news like, oh, they're getting this, this, and that. And it's like, yeah, we already have it. It's like, Homecoming already has it. It's like, Rebirth is getting all this stuff. Homecoming already has it for
right.
years.
Now, I haven't seen the beta, so I'm going to predict, you know, guitar. I think it's safe to say we're not going to see a tuba. So
I
that would
not.
Be interesting. You know, you're playing a sousaphone tuba, and to capture him, you just dip and put him in the big horn.
I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can find it now. But I just thought it was funny when I saw it, and then the first comment was, you know, Homecoming's had it for ages, all that stuff. Rebirth makes news,
it.
They have all these... Yeah, it's like, power. You know, it's like, this rogue server's getting all these 9 power sets and cell shading. Homecoming has had that since they opened. Oh.
Did it.
Yeah. And they're getting this thing called Callisti Wharf, and yeah, Homecoming's had it. I was like, why does that sound all familiar? He's like, wait a minute, we have all that stuff.
Just add Echo Plaza and the Christmas area.
Yeah, and then you just add that stuff, guys, and you're coming up to us. Okay, we have this thing. Wait, we have this thing.
The thing with the thing.
Hold on, we have this button called Fast Travel. We just added it. We've had it. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay. We have these things called base portals. And when you go into them, you go into a supergroup base and you can make a base for your team. Yeah. We've had them since like day one. Knock your shit off. Anything else you want to try? Okay. We have these things called AE. Yeah, we've had them. Jesus Christ. Anything else you want to try? Okay, around each zone, we have these energy fields that surround each zone. Yeah, they're called war walls. Motherfucker! Oh, come on, that was the original game. Now you're just making up shit. That was the original game. Stop it. That was made by us. That was there when the game first started.
Mm. Oh, it is that time.
Must I go to the tomb to get the tome?
Tomb to the tome.
And I said it right that time.
Yep.
Yes, folks, we enter the ancient tomb to retrieve the tome. Yes, folks. In life, Not everybody could be an Avenger. Not everybody could be an X-Men. Not everybody could be a member of the Justice League. There's going to be those guys. You know, those guys that you go, huh? What? What? They have fake heroes from comic book history. They make a league of regrettable superheroes. Let's see what tonight's offerings give us. First, we begin with our Golden Age offering. Yes, yes, yes. This one was created by George Brenner. But he wasn't George Brenner for this one. He went by the name Wayne Reed.
It's already bad when they use
yes.
a pseudonym.
And for this one, he had an existential dilemma with this one. Why not become a lumberjack-themed superhero?
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep
all night and He debuted, this hero debuted in Doll Man number one, Quality Comics 1941. You know, his name isn't Doll Man. It isn't Doll Man. It's the comic book he premiered in, though. His quote, "Crime robbed me of parental love. Something has got to be done to stamp out crime. Something will be done." His name? Justin Wright. The N is the letter N with a quote, with a quotation, a quote mark, a quotation thing around each N.
Oh no.
So the funny thing is the character is Justin Wright. His real name is Justin. Okay, hold on. Wait. Okay, so let's read this and I'll read the comic book page because it's pretty funny. So it's an unfortunate truth in comic books that many crime-fighting careers begin with the death of one's parents. Superman's mom and dad sacrificed their lives so their only son might live on. Batman saw his parents gunned down before his very eyes. Even Spider-Man is an orphan. And then there's Justin Wright. On his 26th birthday, lumberjack Justin Wright is called to the law offices of Cronin, Fox, and DiPretta. There, the burly young man is made aware that he's the sole inheritor of the vast fortune of his late parents, parents he never knew anything about. As an orphan who was handed off from one foster family to another, Justin was always unaware that his parents were murdered by criminals. Left unsettled by this bittersweet inheritance, Justin goes to explore the humble home left to him. In a small box of mementos, he finds his mother's scarf, the same one she was wearing at the time of her murder, and discovers that it possesses a curious one-way translucence. From one side, the scarf can be seen through clearly, whereas from the other, it's completely opaque. Taking this as a sign, Justin opts to wear the scarf like a blindfold mask, recalling the likeness of a blind justice as he wages a one-man war on crime. As aliases go, Justin Wright's baddie-bashing alter ego, Justin Wright, probably shouldn't leave crooks scratching their heads about his real name. Nonetheless, he manages to make it work. Decked out in a sharp suit and his mother's scarf, Justin Wright is armed with, quote-unquote, two rock-like fists as his only weapons, setting upon criminals while, quote-unquote, those flying fists flail in the name of justice. Justin Wright enjoys a brief but effective career. In his first outing, he manages to put an end to the nefarious affairs of an elf-eared gangster, Petey Dirk, and top mob boss Schizone. Part of Justin Wright's success may lie in relentless self-promotion. Before we first see him in action, the underworld is already alarmed by that new menace that's popped up, Justin Wright. Perhaps they'd seen his calling card a sticker affixed to the foreheads of his unconscious targets depicted a balanced scale in his nom de guerre. The blindfolded baddie basher doesn't stop at pummeling mooks. To summon the authorities, he hurls a signed note and a bundle of evidence tied to a brick through the police chief's office window. Well, that makes sense. Now, that's a sure way to get the police chief's attention. Justin Wright made only that single appearance, and his ultimate fate was never revealed. Conceivably, the police picked him up outside the chief's office and put him away on a vandalism charge. Well, that makes sense.
Yep. Now, remember, it's golden age, so it's got to be, oh, be caught, you keep breaking my window, now you're going off to the hose, gal.
That's right. That's right. All
golden
right.
age, come on. Every cop was an Irishman.
It's a golden age. That's right. Hold on. Hold on. I have to, I'm going AFK here. Just a moment before we hit the silver age. Okay. Oh, good Lord. Okay. Our silver age entry for the night. It was created by, wow, another one, Richard E. Hughes. But in this instance, he goes by the name Zev Zimmer. And
already
another alias. And his accomplice, I mean his partner, Pete Costanza.
I don't want to hear nothing from you, Kramer.
That's right. All right. So this hero's tailor, Tim Burton, apparently. This hero debuted in Adventures into the Unknown, number 154. American Comics Group. Yeah. American Comics Group's February 1965. His quote, make way for Nemesis. The name, Nemesis.
It's a Nemesis plot. It's a Nemesis plot.
That's a Nemesis plot. He's Nemesis. All right. So, before they can begin their crime-fighting careers, some superheroes have to endure the most harrowing origin of all. First, they have to die. One of these post-mortal paladins was Nemesis, formerly a police detective with the hard-boiled name Steve Flint. While pursuing a murderous saboteur and mob boss named Garotti, Flint is run over by a train. End of story? No. Promptly dispatched to the afterlife, a green-tinted other-dimensional home of the dead called the Unknown. Flint takes the opportunity of a backlogged admission system to formally request that he be allowed to return to Earth to avenge his own murder. A newly hired Grim Reaper, himself a victim of Garotti's homicidal tendencies, not only allows Flint's request, but outfits him with a costume designed to strike terror into the hearts of criminals. Striped shorts and a t-shirt with a hood.
And then then that Grim Reaper found Bill and Ted.
Well, we did say death was new at his job. The freshly christened Nemesis does so well at his new calling, one-upping his own death by pushing Garotti into the path of a blazing rocket exhaust. Jesus Christ. That the Reaper allows him to retain his striped pants of office and continue defending the world of the living from murderers and crooks. In the tradition of the undead superhero, Nemesis is gifted with a series of powers so broadly defined as to render him omnipotent. Naturally, he can fly and possess remarkable strength. And of course, he can turn invisible, I tell you, and walk through walls just like any other ghost. In addition, when necessary, Nemesis could also change his size, read minds, and travel through time. All these powers came with limitations, however. Despite being dead, Nemesis still apparently had to breathe. And so, he had to be wary of poison gas and drowning. That makes sense. Why not? Give them weakness. Okay. Sure. More important, exposure to excessively strong illumination turned Nemesis into a powerless weakling, vulnerable to mortal weapons. Well, this is making more and more sense by as we go along.
Put the spotlight on the fight. No, really, don't.
No. I shall fight at night, in the darkest of dark shadows. Life wasn't all duty and danger. Nemesis had a mortal earthly girlfriend, Lita Ravelli Craig. Although the Grim Reaper disapproved of the relationship, isn't that always the way? And the couple had a tendency to argue, ditto. When taking time off from his duties, Nemesis retired to a high-rise apartment in one of the unknown swankier zip codes. After a respectable few years battling evil on Earth while balancing the ultimate in long-distance relationships, Nemesis hung up his hood for good. Presumably, he retired to the unknown, where he is still waiting for his death certificate to be processed.
He's also the tuner of the bass guitar for that Grim Reaper with Bill and Ted.
That's right.
Hey, Melvin.
Yes. That's right. Okay. And now, if I take a sip, we now go to the modern age. Okay.
And you're AFK again.
Good Lord.
They got to fix that timer.
They really do. I mean, it was one page I read. Okay, there we go. Okay. This reading, this hero, created by Scott Edelman and Rico Rival.
Any
no alias, I tell you.
No alias.
No.
Okay.
And that's his real name, Rico Rival. Who figured? This character debuted in Dead of Night number 11, Marvel Comics, August 1975. Known enemies, fire, hungry horses, and flying monkeys.
Oh, no.
They'll make clear in a sec. His quote, he is the Straw Man.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like the Scarecrow, but... Okay. As anti-heroes grew in popularity throughout the increasingly seedy 1970s, the bright, primary-colored superheroes of yesteryear were joined by or replaced with weird, freaked-out monsters and die-hard killers decked out in black leather. Of the former was the Straw Man, which originally debuted as the Scarecrow, a demonic entity from another dimension whose heroism was mostly a matter of self-preservation and the maintenance of a long-running interdimensional grudge, while other heroes made their headquarters in hidden caves or high-tech fortresses. The Straw Man occupied a mysterious, other-dimensional world accessible only through a seemingly haunted painting. When trouble would rise, typically trouble that targeted the painting's current owner, Jess Duncan, his art critic girlfriend Harmony Maxwell, and Jess's brother Dave, the Straw Man's keening laughter would be heard and a shambling, grinning figure would appear. As a hero, the Straw Man was simply terrifying. His primary power was his strangled and soul-rending laughter, which appeared to have magical powers all its own. With it, the Straw Man is able to control birds, direct the weather, grow new bodies for himself, and more. In fact, the body that the Straw Man wears isn't even his true form, only a grain stalk shell inhabited by whatever exists in the world on the other side of his mystic painting. The Straw Man's early appearances detail a lengthy battle against the cult of Kalumai, an old-fashioned type of get-together where everyone is decked out in blood-red robes and wears gold skulls for hats. But if one early letter writer can be believed, that's not the most interesting thing about the character. In the letter column of one of his earliest appearances, a piece of correspondence, allegedly written by a professor of clinical psychology, lays out what is really going on. The writer describes the story as, a profound psychological essay, and celebrates the exemplification of the prototypical authoritarian father figure in the guise of a scarecrow. The frustrated cathexis of libidinal energy towards the Kalumai, ingenious, and the subtle Freudian overtones, which are all too apparent to the trained reader. Well, there you have it. Despite such high praise, the straw man has made few appearances. Along with his unconventional appearance and modus operandi, there was also the problem of his original name. Having spent the first two decades of his existence as the Scarecrow, the character ran the risk of confusion not only with another Marvel Comics character of the same name, but also with the well-known Batman villain, a wholly owned property belonging to the competition. And there you have.
We also know one other thing.
Yes.
He was bad at math.
He was what?
He was bad at math.
Yes.
The sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of any side. Rapture, I got a brain.
And you seem to have disappeared from City of Heroes.
No, because I have map served.
No. Okay, and that is, and that are this week's entries of our members of the League of Regrettable Superheroes. And now we return the book safely.
And that and a funny thing about that quote, mathematically wrong.
Probably is.
It is. It's wrong.
But I sure do sound smart. But I sure do sound smart.
People with no brains seem to talk a lot. Now, there's an opening for a couple of jokes there.
Yep, I know a few people like that in this house. Oh! Okay, so I go to the update board. No change. You cheap people, why won't you donate? It's for the kids.
I gave it time. There was a pause for a little period last time.
I know.
Be patient.
Okay.
And I'm surprised we have not had Alto poking you with a stick.
I haven't seen Alto all night. It's Cat Day?
International
I haven't seen
Cat
Alto.
Day. Yeah.
International Cat Day, and Alto's not here. Gee, my chair is right there, and he's got 13 minutes to get here.
All right, and I'm back on City of Heroes.
Okay. Okay, so.
So I think Silver Egret's about to fill in for Alto, and Silver Egret will probably poke you with a stick. Nope, he blew up a chair.
It's not the same thing. but I noticed we have a curse doll here, too, which is kind of weird. We have a curse doll here and a curse baby doll over in CO. What was I going to say? So, yes. So, I was planning for a D&D campaign on the 20th. But I don't know what's going on with my stepdad. So I don't know what we're going to do.
The simple answer, we just play by ear.
Okay.
And I think it's safe to say for those who are planning stuff, probably we will not be on Labor Day.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's...
less than a month away.
Hold on, I am checking my calendar. That would be the 5th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, we won't be on the 5th of Labor Day now. No. Yeah, we will not be on the 5th, no.
Okay.
No. Right, we're going to take Labor Day off.
Mm. Oh, I do have a notice, and
yeah.
I just got to find where it was located again. Anyway, there it is. On City of Heroes, we
yes.
have a costume contest.
Oh, okay.
The House of MVP, hosted by the likes of Envy, the one who did the original Daily Scoop on the City of Heroes servers way back when, presents I Love the 80s Costume Contest, Saturday, August 13th in Echo Plaza, 9 p.m. Eastern. Judges will be Envy and Strike Burst, special guest judge Rhea Vestro of Honor SD,
okay.
over 1 billion influence to be awarded.
Okay, very cool.
So, yep, you got to be all 80s on that day.
Okay. And that's August 13th, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And that is this coming
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yep.
This Saturday. Saturday. Saturday.
And
very
that
good.
That will be during Coconut's time.
Okay. Oh, I did talk to Coconut. So heads up, people. Tuesday, September 13th. We will not be on Monday, September 12th. We are switching with DJ Coconut. We will be on Tuesday, September 13th, for a very special reason. That night is this show's official 10th anniversary. To mark the occasion, we will be on Tuesday, September 13th, in DJ Coconut's time slot. And what is your time slot?
8 to 11 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Well, why not? We'll go all 3 hours. We'll be celebrating this show's 10-year anniversary.
That's
we started out as
previous people.
What was that? What was that?
See if we can get some of the previous people who were on air.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll reach out to them. We started out as Save COH Radio for Save City of Heroes Radio. In the City of Heroes' darkest hour. And then there was a time period where NCSoft did not want to negotiate with us. And I said, you know what? We're just going to switch the name. And all of a sudden, people tuned in and said, the name change is awesome. And glad I switched it. We changed our mission statement. You know, we kept fighting, you know, giving people updates. And we just added, you know, doing what we're doing now. So.
And there was a brief second where we were Pogo Pogo Super Duper Happy Fun Time Old Time Radio Program.
Yeah, I don't
brief
remember
second.
That.
Like I said, it was
a very, very, very brief microsecond. Every once in a while, we get some Japanese people in the audience with cameras. So, did I ever tell you that story? Super Bowl. We were celebrating Super Bowl 46 in New York City, and all of a sudden this bus stops in front of us full of Japanese tourists, right? So we're like, everybody goes, oh, let's do it. We all bow to them.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, all the entire bus, they all stand up and bow back to us.
There you go.
We're going, oh my, every starts cracking up, and then the bus left. We're cracking, we're dying. Like, you can't make this up. Like, it's like, it was one of those things like, are you kidding me? I was dying. People were just like, you know, it's one of those things like, all right, goodwill, ambassador, but like the stereotypical thing, yes, it actually had to actually, it happened. Oh, my God. I told my friends, he's like, I hate you. I should have been there. I was like, yeah, I told you to take off and go with us. Because he's a diehard Giant fan like me. And he's like, not for the parade, but for that. He's like, for missing that, I hate you. He's like, that? I'm like, dude, I was up against the barrier. I had front row for the parade. For that alone. I was like, Flavor Flav came over and high-fived me. He goes, okay, now I really hate you. It was all like, dude, we took a 4 o'clock train in. And the funny thing was, there was this guy and like this girl, and they show like they came up, was like, hi. It's like, yeah, hi. It's like, we'd like to stand up front. No. And they were trying to slam, like, it was already five rows deep, and they're trying to push their way through. It's like, yeah, we want to stand up front. No. And everybody's like, are you not? And they're like pushing their way through, and we have our hands on the rail, and they're trying to like go under our arms. Like, excuse me. I'm pressed up against the rail. It's like, what are you trying to fucking do? Like, the guy was trying to hump, like almost practically hump my leg. The guy, go away. And I'm yelling for the cop. He goes, sir, what is this gentleman doing? It's like, we've been standing here, and everybody's complaining. It's like, sir. And see, too, we've had multiple complaints about you two from other people. Enough is enough. Go back, or you're coming with us. You know what their response was? Oh, do you have front row spots for us? You know what the cop's response? Yes, behind bars. Like, oh my god. And everybody just looked at the cops at Luton like, are you kidding me? Like, you can't write this stuff. That day it was like shit just happened. Like, no, they just didn't say that.
Well, we got 3 minutes to go, so
okay, so let's say our goodbyes now before we run out of time. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Read those comic books, read those superhero novels. They're out there. You know, I wonder, okay, hold on, I'll say in a minute, watch those superhero TV shows and the superhero movies. You guys rock. Thank you for tuning in. If not, me and Mad Viking would just be talking to ourselves about stuff we talk about all the time anyway. Anything you'd like to say in closing?
On Dawn Radio, get ready for the Greatest Generation podcast and say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Now, when I see superhero novels, I don't know if you know this, before George R.R. Martin, sorry, I say this again, before Mr. George R.R. Martin wrote A Song of Ice, Fire and Ice, or the Game of Thrones book series, he was an editor for a book series called Wild Cards. There's 20-something novels. It was based off a superhero campaign they played, a game called Superworld. It's been out since 1987. The first couple of books came out then. Go check them out. I haven't read them yet. I hear they're really good, and it's called Wild Cards because it's based how they rate their superheroes. So, God, seriously, they're supposed to be really well done. So, and the writers, it's like a who's who of science fiction writers. So, and I hear right now they are working on, it's coming out on one of the streaming services soon. In the next year or two, the first couple of books are going to be the series. There's going to be a series. So, I think there's like 26 novels out. So, and they're all anthologies. So, give it a try. Give it a check. Check it out. So, it's really cool. All right. So, enjoy the Greatest Generation podcast coming up next. And I'll see you all next Monday night, 8 to 9:30, for another episode of Paragon Radio and Blog Talk Radio. But for you people, tune in to dawnradio.live all week. Embrace the dawn. And we'll give you more updates about our upcoming D&D campaign. If you want to join in for a 5th edition D&D campaign in Greyhawk, get in touch with me. And thank you all. Good night. You guys rock. Without you guys, I wouldn't be doing this every week. We got 10 seconds. Thank you, Curse Baby Doll in COH and in CO. Thank you, Curse Doll, Alan and Teddysons, Silver Regret, Mordecus, and Natalia Kromstock. And Teddysons are Mr. Nom Nom and Clarence. I think I got everybody in. Did I miss anybody? Natalia Kromstock, Silver Regret. I think that's everybody, right?
Well, yep, and we're off the air.
Okay, but I got the roll call in before we went off the air. Hot damn. I got everybody. All right. You go enjoy, sir. I'm going to put an end to the show right now. Since you're here, we have company over. All right.
Okay.
I'll post these links later on. Have a good night. Go enjoy your next podcast. Oh, good night, Bloody Wolf. All right. Let me say good night, Bloody Wolf, on the show.